It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
And joining us right now on the team line, the voice of the Colorado Buffalo is Mark Johnson. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Jim, good morning. Good to be on with you.
Always great to talk with you. As I'm sure you were hoping, as I was hoping as well, we'd be talking about talking to you on the road with the Buffs in the Sweet 16. But unfortunately, that came to an end against Marquette last Sunday. And but still, what an incredible season for Colorado. Back-to-back wins in the tournament the first time since, 1955. They're able to get back-to-back NCAA tournament wins, the win against Boise State, and obviously that thrilling victory against Florida. But still some disappointment, certainly, because I think that the talent was there for Colorado to make a much deeper run.
Well, it was. Great year. Here's the thing about it you find out. I've done a number of shows this week. Everybody, when you're playing that deep into a tournament, is really good. And, Marquette's a great team. I thought that game, the Florida game is what everyone talks about because it was exciting and it was high-scoring and fast-paced and KJ hits the game-winner. I thought that game on Sunday against Marquette was a high-level college basketball game. I thought that had the feel of a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four kind of game, because here's the thing about Marquette. They don't let you breathe. And what I mean by that is every trip up and down the court is exceptionally important. And games like that, I did a show in KOA on Monday, and the host asked me, what was the difference between the win against Florida and the loss against Marquette? And I said, same thing it always is when you get to this time of year. You make a play or you don't make a play. And Colorado had, three good looks, wide-open looks, on threes late in the game that might have won that game against Marquette, and they didn't hit them. And Marquette did hit a couple of shots. So, it's disappointing. I wish we were, down in Dallas right now getting ready for a Sweet 16 game, and I've always wanted that for Tad, that he could make a late run. But, boy, that was a hell of a run down the stretch, winning 10 of 12.
Tyler Kolek, holy cow. I've never seen a guy as good with his left hand that's not predominantly left-handed. As Tyler Kolek. I mean, he is left-handed. I'm sorry, but I've never seen a guy that good. I'm sorry. I forgot that he was left-handed. I thought he was a right-handed guy. But he's so good with his left hand. And they tried to keep him from going to his left. And he just time and time again made sensational plays with his left hand.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And, I'll tell you the story. So the Florida game, we sit down to start getting ready for a broadcast on Friday. And they're just starting the second half, and so I'm kind of getting my stuff ready, and we're all sitting there chatting, and I'm kind of half paying attention. And finally, about the third or fourth trip, I'm up and down the court, I'm like, who in the heck is that number 11? Jeez, he's good. And then I start really watching him. And another three or four trips goes up and down the court, I'm like, what in the... So I reached over and I grabbed some Marquette notes that I grabbed, because I figured we play either Marquette or Western Kentucky, obviously. And I flip it, I'm like, oh, he's the second-team All-American. Oh, he leads the nation in assists. And I was extremely impressed by him. And you're right. I had fans afterward. He kept going left. Why didn't they stop that? Yeah, they were trying to. If you watch the game, they were overplaying his left hand. And then, he was so crafty. And he's really impressive. And I said on the broadcast, I said he's got kind of a Steve Nash, John Stockton, Chris Paul kind of feel to him. Because he sees the court so incredibly well. And, he was spectacular. And listen, Marquette's a national championship caliber team. And he's a big reason why.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffalo, is with us today. So before we talk about Tristan and KJ and Cody and what's going to happen with them, we do have to mention that, at least according to John Rothstein from CBS, that Eddie Lampkin, Javon Hadley, are going to enter the transfer portal. So
and Luke O'Brien as well, by the way.
And Luke's going to go as well. So and the three guys I just mentioned with Tristan Da Silva, KJ Simpson, Cody Williams, all expected to be drafted. And so like a lot of basketball programs right now, Mark, Dad Boyle faces the challenge of trying to restock the groceries over at CU.
Yeah, and it's and by the way, the panic was setting in with Buff fans, yesterday. And I said, none of this was unexpected. And, you know, there was a show I was on, I won't say who it was, and he was like, oh, Eddie just seemed like he loved you. And I said, okay, stop with the whole seemed thing. Stop with the I felt. You're speaking about emotion. You're getting emotionally caught up in this, and you thought just because a guy did certain things, you thought he was something. Haven't you learned enough lessons about that? You don't make those kind of judgments, okay? And I'm not being critical of Eddie in any way, shape, or form. What Eddie's doing, Eddie is in this day of college athletics we're in, Eddie's going to go and see what the biggest payday he can find. That's what he's doing. He's going to go see what the biggest paycheck he can possibly find out there he is. Because here's the thing about Eddie. We love him, and I loved watching him. I thought he was a phenomenal piece. He's not an NBA player. Okay.
No.
So that payday's not coming for him. So Eddie's looking for the payday right now that he can find out there to get him the biggest chunk of change. Javon Hadley, I think Javon's an interesting guy to me. He was a wonderful player and a very nice kid. He had in just kind of a different way of dealing with things. And I thought at one point, late in the season, I thought, you know what, I think he's going to go just see if he can find one more year someplace else. Luke O'Brien graduated. He's going to graduate. He's got his degree and all of that. And so like a lot of these guys, they kind of look at it and say, you know, I did my 4 years. I got my degree. I did everything I was supposed to do. And now it might be kind of fun just to go see what I can do someplace else one more year. So none of these are surprises. And in terms of the other three guys, listen, Cody's going to be a lottery pick. You know, Tristan Da Silva, I've seen him projecting the top 15 to 17, 18, kind of in that range. KJ is going to go test the waters, and chances are he's going to jump to the NBA as well. None of this is really surprising if you were really paying attention during the season, and it is what it is in college athletics. I had one fan that was particularly over the line, just going out of his mind. I said, just relax. Have you noticed it's happening everywhere?
Yeah. It's not just Colorado. It's everywhere.
I know some guy, what's Tad doing? What is he? Why is he doing it? It's like, hey, listen, everyone's doing this. It's happening everywhere. Players from – I saw John Rothstein, I think it was yesterday, put out one of the top players in the SEC from South Carolina, phenomenal player, all-conference, getting huge NIL money, and he jumped. And the guy's like – and Rothstein's like, what? Why? What are you going after? And I think what we're seeing here is a real grass is greener type of mentality out there with these young guys.
And no doubt about it. And in the case of Cody Williams, where I know he's going to be a lottery pick because of the potential, the way he played in the tournament, let's just be fair, kind of like Isaiah Stevens for Colorado State, did not have a particularly great tournament. I guess in Cody, I don't, they're going to draft him on his potential. They're not. I don't think most NBA teams are going to look at, oh, those numbers weren't exactly scintillating in the NCAA tournament. Do you think the way he played in the tournament is going to have much of an impact on how NBA teams view him?
No, and here's the reason. He was coming back from injury. If you noticed this, he progressively went through the postseason and got better. And so his defense was actually very, very good the last couple of ballgames. Mm-hmm. Offensively, he made some strides. If you noticed in the I'm getting my games mixed up. I think it was the Marquette game. He had a couple of big buckets. So he still did things that you look at from a potential standpoint. That's what people have to understand. They're not drafting the player. They're drafting what the player is going to be.
Right.
And people need to understand that. This is not 1985 anymore, okay? It's a totally different deal. They look at the player and say, we see potentially what he could. You know, somebody once, I talked to a scout earlier this year about, you know, Brandon Carlson, the big 7-footer at Utah, who's an outstanding player. I said, what do you think of him? They're like, no interest. I said, no interest. They're like, yeah, he's fine. You know, he may bland some plays, but we know what he is. He's already 24 years old. We know what he is. His ceiling is 2 inches above where he is right now. Cody Williams' ceiling is a mile and a half above where he is right now. So that's what they draft, and that's why, you know, when fans, I had dinner with a guy, a booster, the other night in Indianapolis, and he was going on and on about, I just don't see it, it's not there, he's not a good player. You're not paying attention. Look for the potential. What do you see? He makes moves every once in a while that are otherworldly.
Absolutely.
He's got phenomenal length. He can shoot, he can put it on the floor, he can defend all the things you're looking for in an NBA player. It's raw right now. He's going to be a great player. That's what they're drafting.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And yeah, you watch, like you said, there are moments you just go, holy cow.
Yes.
This kid's really good. And
every once in a while, he does something on occasion. Scott and I, we snap our heads and look at each other sitting seven, like, oh, I can't believe what he just did right there. And a lot of times there's subtle things that the average fan is just looking, does he hit the three? Does he get a dunk? Does he get a block? They're looking for that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the little things. The feet are amazing on him. And the way he handles the ball are really, really high level. And so that's why they're so high on him.
All right, Mark, I'll ask you one final thing about basketball before we wrap it up with a couple of quick football questions. Did KJ shove off the Florida player now that it's all done? You were there. Did he look to me like I slipped? I kind of agree with KJ on that. I think he slipped a little bit.
Did he? Oh, sure he did. Yeah. And it happens all the time. And, you know, the one we all think about, of course, is the Michael Jordan and Byron Russell, right?
Yeah.
That was an enormous push-off. This was a nudge. And if you go back and look at that, did he extend the hand? Absolutely not. Did he extend the elbow? Yes, he did. And that's pretty a commonplace play. And so, you know, in my view, that's a play that happens a dozen times every single game, and nobody thinks twice about it.
Yeah,
but he created space, Jim. That's how we put it.
Exactly,
kind of indicated it wasn't illegal.
Florida player slipped a little bit. KJ may give him a little, you know, little soft elbow, little, you know, just a little separation. It was just a cold blooded killer shot at the end of the game.
I tell you what, that's going to go down, and I mentioned this on the air. When we think of great moments in Colorado sports history. In Michigan, the miracle of Michigan. You've got going over 2,000 yards for Rashawn. You know, those different things that have happened within the history. Zim once said to me towards the end when Zim and I were talking, he goes, you know, you haven't had a chance to call many of those moments. You know, Zim got a chance to call a bunch of them early in his career, and that was one of them the other day. I mean, that's one of those we'll talk about for 25 years. That shot he made against Florida.
See your voice, Mark Johnson, with us today. Buffs have the spring game coming up on April 27th, and of course, Buffs at work at spring ball, and Deion Sanders making some interesting comments that have grabbed national attention, as he tends to do, with, of course, his son, Shedeur Sanders, and also Travis Hunter, making the comment on a podcast that, you know, it depends on who drafts them, that certain places he doesn't want either one of those guys to go to in the NFL, and he's not afraid, you know, for them to pull an Eli, referring to Eli Manning when he decided he didn't want to go to the Chargers and got traded to the Giants, that he's not afraid to encourage those guys to do that, or at least he feels like they should consider not playing for certain teams, particularly cold weather teams. But then, Mark, I have to ask the question, if he doesn't want Shedeur to play for a cold weather team, why'd he come to Colorado?
Well, first, I thought when you said he made national news, I thought you were going to talk about him getting lost in the Dominican Republic jogging yesterday.
I didn't hear about that. Oh no, did they find him? I hope they found Coach Prime.
Well, he actually, and I'll get back to what you asked me about. But yeah, he apparently went jogging. And by the way, it looked like, I think he was staying at a high level resort, not surprisingly. And so it's not like he was out in the backwoods someplace. But he apparently got lost and couldn't find his way back. And then it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And then he noticed that somebody was kind of, he thought they might be stalking him. And then so he had to get a hold of Bucky so that Bucky could talk him what did they call it? Putting a pin. Yeah. Send him a pin from his phone so they could come and find him. And I thought, well, why didn't you just have Bucky send you a pin, and then you could have just followed that back too? But nonetheless, it was very, very funny. He was doing a live video expressing how he was very concerned that he was lost in the Dominican Republic. But now getting back to another thing, fantastic. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting when he named the cities that Shedeur and Travis could play for, and he didn't want to be in a cold weather city, and he didn't name Denver, where he lives right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mentioned Washington, and it was like, well, what? It's not balmy in 85 in Washington every NFL season. I mean, that's the East Coast. It's cold weather, man.
And by the way, about the coldest place I've ever been was at a game at Candlestick in San Francisco, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not like that's a balmy place all the time either.
No kidding. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. So, April 27th, the spring game coming up, and do you think it'll match the fanfare of last year?
Well, they got a little wing concert that's going to happen after the game. And then I have heard either a talent show or a fashion show on Friday night. I don't have an alumni event. So, yeah, I think it's going to match the fanfare. I mean, they're